Let's go back to the Word and hear from a father words for his child in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and let's remain standing for God's holy word, pray, and we'll be seated. Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is, acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. And they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right, nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Our Heavenly Father, You have given us instruction and teaching and words of life this morning. Though an earthly father wrote these for his earthly child, Your Holy Spirit meant that they be words for us as well. Give us not mere knowledge, multiple facts upon each other as we look at this chapter. But may You give us understanding and wisdom to know that it is for our good and for Your glory that we apply and live accordingly to them. Father, we need You to help us to be open to Your Word and not be defensive and rebel against it. Soften our hearts to You by Your Spirit and give us gladness in ever drawing closer to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if you would, be seated. Well, for several weeks now, although the date was uncertain, we as elders knew that we wanted to take a moment today to acknowledge a new season of life for several of our youth who are graduating high school. And we thank you and the families for being here. And for those who have graduated previously, we thank you for being a part of today and for allowing us to enjoy your presence and to have you back with us again. I confess that more than several other sermons, I have felt a weightiness about this morning. Because very quickly, life is going to change. And my seeing you week after week is not going to be there. You're going to be off, many of you. For your parents, they struggle with that same sense of excitement and enjoyment that you are growing as they have wanted you to and prayed for you to, and yet you're going. And they want to leave some last words with you to hear as you go. Perhaps this was the heart of Solomon for his son as well. You almost have a sense of, I need to get it all in now in this chapter. And for the rest of us who are not graduating high school or parents of those who are graduating high school, this is not a time for you to check out. This is the Word of God, which speaks to all of us, regardless of our season of life. Though this morning we may have a bit of a more rifled approach to the chapter, there is much in here for all of us to hear and to bend to. As I was preparing this week for this message, there was another sending new season of life story that I was reminded of. And some of you I know have read the biography of the missionary John Payton, who left home and who went to the other side of the world as a missionary. Well, early on in the book, there is the story of his leaving home. He is in high school, and he is going to Glasgow to go to high school for which he worked several weeks and a year to earn the money to pay his way into high school. A little bit different now. The story is told that it's the time for him to go on to the academy, and I'll just read you the account. When the day came, he, John, the son, wrapped his few belongings in his handkerchief and set out for Glasgow. He had to walk the first 40 miles and then catch a train for the rest of the journey. John's father accompanied him for the first few miles. As they walked together, his father encouraged him to remain loyal to his faithful God. But as they approached the spot where they had to part, he grew silent. And his lips moved silently as he prayed to God for his son. When it was time for John's dad to turn back, he gripped his son firmly by the hand and with tears in his eyes bade him farewell with these words, God bless you, my son. Your father's God prosper you and keep you from all evil. And then after a few moments of silent prayer in which they were both too overcome to speak, his dad gave him another big hug and John ran on his way. But he had not gone very far before he stopped to look back for one last view of the father whom he loved so dearly, and he caught sight of his dad doing exactly the same thing, looking for him. As he lost sight of his father in the distance, he made a silent promise in his heart that with God's help, he would always live and act so as never to grieve or dishonor such a father and mother as he had given me. This is the season in which you are now in, when parents bid their children that God protect them as they are now living completely under His authority. This morning, as we look at Proverbs 4, it's going to be difficult to do this in the normal fashion that I preach through a passage. Proverbs just sort of covers everything all at once and not necessarily in a nice, neat order. And so this morning, I want us to look at chapter 4, and I want us to see a discipling parent. I want us to see a discipling parent who has a devoted purpose and a desperate pleading. A discipling parent who has a devoted purpose with a sense of desperate pleading. Let's look at this discipling parent. Why do I say that Solomon is a discipling parent? Look here in verse 11. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. It was the plan of Solomon to speak to his son, to his child, that if the child should know anything, it should be about the matters of wisdom and of godliness. That was Solomon's heartbeat. It was the pattern given to him by his father, David. For he even remembers and quotes some of the words of his father, David, in verses 4 through 9. He refers to his ongoing instruction as a father in verse 1. In verse 2, he reminds him, I'm giving you sound teachings. Verse 10, accept my teachings. This parent is talking a lot to his child, as long as he has them, but always pointing him to the wisdom of God. Where did Solomon get his wisdom? It was not from his AP classes. It was not from Google. Solomon got his wisdom for seeking after, praying for the wisdom of God and God granting that wisdom to him. And then as he has received the wisdom of God, just as your parents have received the wisdom of God in the Word of God, they have, just as Solomon, they have sought to prepare you and teach you and disciple you and instruct you, just as they are told to do in Deuteronomy 6, 7 and 8, you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down, when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign in your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. Pointing you not only to the Word of God as some sort of collection of do's and don'ts, moral behavior, but pointing you to the Word of God who reveals the true wisdom of God in Jesus Christ, who is referred in Colossians 2, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is of great comfort to me, having walked with you these nearly 7 years, those of you who are graduating, to be able to say to you, you have had discipling parents. And I pray that you are thankful for them. Have they been perfect? No. Just as you have not been perfect. But I guarantee parent and child alike this, they were the perfect parent given for you by God. Just as you have been the perfect child from God for them. But they have sought to raise you in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Those of you who are still raising your children, take the modeling of Solomon here and do not be quiet in always seeking opportunity to speak the wisdom of God into their lives. You can teach your children all kinds of things. How to mop, how to do dishes, how to change the oil in the car, how to garden, how to sew, how to mend, how to drive, how to cipher and do figuring. You could teach them the family business. But if you have not taught them to fear the Lord, you haven't taught them anything. Keep on speaking the Word of God. When they seem to be listening, and even when they are not, saturate them with the Word of God. Saturate them with the instruction of the Lord. Disciple them. Parents, let me say to you, what an encouragement you have been, not just to each other, but to us who walk the journey with you, to see you have a heart that your children love the Lord. Well done. But keep going. Your time of discipling, although it's changing, and the context is going to be changing, it's not over. Keep on instructing. Keep on teaching. Keep on giving the words of life. Keep on pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a thank you to the parents. An encouragement for those of you who are graduating. If you have not, thank your parents for their continually pointing you to the Lord. Solomon was such a father who lived to direct his son in the way of wisdom and to lead him in upright paths. But we see this discipling parent, but I want you to see why he's doing this. He has a very devoted purpose. He has a very devoted purpose. It is not, I want to train you in such a way that others, when they see you, speak well of me. Parents, your children are not your trophies. They're God's. Others are to see your children and praise the God who made them. No, Solomon did not have in his heart to disciple his children so that he would be spoken well of. He had a heart to disciple his children so that they, and specifically the son, so that he might have life. It's repeated over and over. Solomon, the words of his father still ringing in him in verse 4, keep my commandments and live. Verse 10, hear my son and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. 13, take hold of instruction, do not let go, guard her, for she is your life. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to their body. And verse 23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Wisdom in life truly lived. This is the hope of Solomon as a father. That the son, and for you as parents, for sons and daughters, that they might have life, and life now and fully and in Jesus Christ eternally. I'm so thankful to be able to stand here and say that you who are graduating and have graduated, you have made the good confession of Christ. You who have been given life, it is because your parents, this was their hope, this was their purpose. Not to make their own lives cushy and fluffy, but that you might have life eternal in Christ. Why do I say, for those who are here, that Jesus Christ has the words of life? Because the Bible says this to us. In John 5:24, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Peter, in that great confession, now that everybody else is turning away from him, as Jesus has put up some very stringent ideas as what it means to follow him. It is not just to say, I believe, and get baptized and live like the world the rest of your life. No, Jesus says, you've got to die. You've got to eat my flesh, drink my blood, die yourself and follow me. And they vanish because it's not easy anymore. Jesus Jesus turns to his disciples and says, well, are you going to leave me too? And Simon Peter says in John 6:68, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. The world has all kinds of words and pictures of what living is. This is living. You know, retired at 45, feet up on the beach somewhere, blue-green water in front of you for the next 40 years. The secret is, when you talk to people who do that, they don't last long in that environment. They are bored. There is a void of purpose in their life. That's not living. Oh, well, I know what living would be. Living would be, winning the lottery and having $100 million in the bank account. Then explain the multitudes who have wrecked marriages and wrecked lives and wrecked bank accounts in just a couple of years. No, riches is not living. Leisure is not living. Jesus Christ is living. And I want you to remember that, to hold on to the words that are life. The Word of God made flesh is life for us. Your parents have sought, as best as they knew how, as best as they understood the Word of God, to continue to instruct you in the words of life. You have received those words. Now live in those words in Christ. Parents, others who are here, grandparents, continue to seek to influence your children and your grandchildren, your nieces and your nephews with the Word of God in the aim that they might know Him who is the fulfillment of all the Word, that they might know Him who has the very words of life, Him who gives life eternal in Himself. Every discipling parent has a devoted purpose to see you truly live. They usually do so with a sense of desperate pleading. Did you hear it as we were reading through Proverbs 4? This great hope that my son, my daughter, is going to be on the path of righteousness and is going to shine brighter and brighter until the full day. That's the hope of every parent. To see them alive in Christ, growing in grace, growing in grace, growing in truth, growing in holiness, growing in love for the Lord. That's what I want for my child. But there's also this desperate awareness to cling to the words of life and not abandon them. Verse 2. Do not abandon my instruction. Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 23. My son, give attention to my ears. Incline your ear to my things. Do not let them go. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. Watch over your heart with all diligence. The desperate state of a parent is that letting go and praying and imploring you to remain in the words that have been given to you. Why? Because it is the temptation of nearly every person who leaves home. Free! I no longer have to do what they say. Parents, if you taught your children merely to obey what you say, that's what you're going to get. But children who have confessed the good confession of Christ, you're still bound to Christ. You're not free except to freely live for Him who died for you. there's a sense as you read Proverbs 4 that this parent is letting go. Solomon is letting go and reminding the teaching, because now you're on your own and you are answerable. And if you choose wisely, there is life and there is light. And if you don't, there is judgment and darkness. What parent is not going to be desperate that their child remain in the way? Why do you think Solomon was so urgent about this? Because he was suspicious about the wickedness of his child's heart? Or because he knew the wickedness of his own heart? And though his father instructed him how he departed. And read the book of Ecclesiastes, the painful lessons he learned for it. I'm no longer answerable to my parents. No, you're not. You're like Joshua, the Bible character. I almost chose Joshua 1 as the text, because Joshua enters into a new season of life there. Think of Joshua. He is the understudy to Moses. And had all those years under, if you will, the umbrella of Moses' care and the umbrella of Moses' authority. I mean, if things got bad, God was going to be talking to Moses, not to me. But now Moses is gone. And it is Joshua standing before the Lord. No wonder God had to encourage him. Be strong and courageous. Obey my words, and I am with you. Your parents aren't going to stop being your parents. But that umbrella of protection that you have enjoyed with your parents, you now stand as you continue in your life before God. You're not always going to be able to say to mom and dad in the next room, "Hey, mom, dad, what do you think that I should do about this?" But what you will have is the Word of God and the Spirit of God within you as you follow after Christ. Continue on the path of righteousness. Stay on the path of life. Continue to cling to the words that your parents have instructed you according to the Word of God. And indeed, your path, as in verse 18 says, your path as one who is righteous in Christ will be like the light of the dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Proverbs chapter 4 has a discipling parent who has had in their heart all these years to lead their child devotedly to the purpose of a life. And not just a physical birthing, but a spiritual birthing. A life in Christ. A life lived out for the glory of God. And they will be praying for you for the rest of their lives that you remain. You take the responsibility yourself to remain in that path that you have confessed. However, what if you have already messed up? What if you have already shirked the teachings of your parents? What are you to do? Well, you don't leave it unresolved. You imitate another child. In Luke 15. And you confess your sins. Return to your father and mother. Repent and be made one with them. for all of us as children of God, as we're reading through the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit brings the light. You remember that command over here? Well, you haven't been knocking that one out of the park, have you? You've been rebelling straight face against me. And as the Spirit brings that to your attention, do you just throw up your hands and you give up? No. You do as the prodigal. You confess your sins to the Father, who is going to be found arms wide open, ready to receive you. So if you have not fulfilled Proverbs 4, and you know of some specific instances, before you leave today, before you say goodbye, be made one with each other, together again on the path of life. I love you guys. I have reveled in watching you grow these past 7 years. Cling. Cling to the words of life that your parents have instructed you for your good and the glory of God. I want to see you in 6 months and hear how you're growing in Christ. I want to see you in 6 years and hear how the light of His glory and favor is shining brighter in your life and brighter in your life and brighter in your life. You need to know that even though you may not be seen, you will be prayed for in just that way. This morning, as we contemplate Proverbs 4, and we contemplate these who are on the precipice of starting a new chapter in their lives, parents who are starting a new chapter in their lives, siblings, I want us to have a time of praying for the graduates and for their parents and siblings. And so the way we're going to do this is just have a corporate time of praying, of consecrating these graduates, of comforting and counseling them in prayer and in Scripture. Perhaps there's a Scripture that will come to mind and you'll want to read that even as we're praying. I want you to specifically pray for the students and their living for Christ, all making a good confession, that they would remain in that confession. I want us to pray that they would enjoy Christ more and more and more. I want us to pray fervently for them, that they would live the life of Christ in them. I want us to pray for the parents. Those of you who have had your children move through this season already, you know the difficulty of heart that is coming. The joys as well, but the difficulty of heart in releasing. Nobody can pray better for that situation than you who have already been through that season. Pray for the parents. Pray for their wisdom in the letting go now. Pray for the families, because one will not be there any longer, and the dynamic of the family changes. And so let us pray that the God would be present, and that there would be a possible smooth transition. Let's pray that this season will be joyful for them, and a season of continuing to call into God. Am I being clear as how I want us to pray? For the students who are graduating and have graduated, those of you who are still in college, you're still sort of in that season of life of figuring out where and who God wants you to be. I want us to pray for the parents and pray for the families. Are you clear? All right. Would somebody be willing to lead us in our praying this morning?